Harris struggled to keep herself under control.
She's what?
Pharaoh looked miserable enough, and he wasn't the one who'd done it.
She volunteered to go talk to the miners aboard the ore hauler to convince them to go back into hiding. I was going to pick her up before our final jump out. When you won, I sent word, and apparently they had this party.
Harris could imagine. An ore hauler full of drunken miners who had just learned that they weren't going to commit suicide by attacking warships with pods. They'd have been crazy to start with, and the party hadn't helped.
And apparently she passed out, and someone threw up on her. And they cleaned her up and put her in a pod to sleep it off, only someone hit the jettison control by mistake hours later.
And now Brunn was out there in a little personnel pod, unconscious or sicker than sin if she was awake, in space thoroughly contaminated with spent weapons from days of fighting.
Why didn't they go after her?
They said that whoever hit the jettison control was so drunk he didn't realize he'd done it. They only realized the pod was gone when they went to give her some clean clothes.
Great. She's not only unconscious, but naked.
Harris could imagine explaining this to Lord Thornbuckle.
Sorry, sir, but I let your daughter experience war in the company of drunken miners, and they dumped her into a pod, unconscious and naked, and shoved her out into the debris of battle.
No, not a good plan. Something had to be done.
Do they have any kind of location on the pod?
Pharaoh looked miserable, as well he might.
No, sir. I've had our scan techs on it since I heard, of course, but there's so much...
Captain, you won't believe this.
Harris looked up at Kutsudis across the bridge. He pointed to an icon that darted into a drift and then back out.
Some idiot rock jumper is trying to collect weaponry with the personnel pod. Well, at least he's got some sense, but...
Esteban, put a lock on that pod. Can you do a retro analysis? Could that have come from the ore hauler 4 or 5 hours ago?
It only turned its beacon on a few minutes ago, but let's see if I can get any kind of trace on the recordings. Yes, it could have. Why?
Because it's Brunn.
Only Brunn could be that lucky, although her luck could run out any moment.
You're going to have to guide Sweet Delight to it for a pickup. Pharaoh, are you getting this?
Yes. It's pretty thick stuff to take the yacht in.
You're right. What we need is in the incoming formations, if we can help her stay alive that long. I need a tight beam to the Harrier.
Brunn had forgotten everything but the scans that told her where the rocks were thickest. She had once thought it must be fun to pilot a pod like this, in the rings of a gas giant. Now she understood the look she'd gotten when she said so to the miners. And although she'd read that rocks usually drifted along together, all moving about the same vector and velocity, these rocks didn't act that way at all. She was constantly having to dodge rocks coming in at different angles, different speeds. She was almost glad she hadn't found any clothes, since she was dripping with sweat.
Brunn? Brunn, can you hear us? Brunn?
Communications. Now, where's that switch?
She groped around until she found it, and another little screen lit up to say that her transmitter had full power.
I hear you, but I'm busy.
Brunn, is that you?
Yes, it's Brunn. There's a lot of rocks out here. Who is this?
Kutsudis. Brunn, you need to let me give you some guidance. Someone's going to pick you up.
Why can't you just give me a vector over to Sweet Delight?
Won't work. And I doubt you've got the fuel for it.
Brunn glanced at the fuel display and was shocked at how much she'd already used. She'd been trying to do short adjustments.
Give me a 10-second burp starboard. Now port.
Something slid by in the scan, long and narrow, with a thermally active tip.
I don't understand all these thermally active rocks. I thought volcanoes had to be on planets.
They aren't rocks.
But they're not ships.
No, they're weapons.
You mean someone was shooting at me? Why?
No, you were crossing drifts of missiles. Missiles that didn't hit their targets. You're almost out of it now.
Brunn realized she was shaking. It was stupid. She was almost out of it now.
Is there a suit aboard? You've got 10 minutes before your next drift, if you can find a suit.
She found an EVA suit, a drab utilitarian model, nothing like her custom suit. Its owner had been shorter.
Oh dear.
Brunn felt the pressure all along her spinal column once she'd struggled into it. But the locks did fasten, and the internal gauges did turn green. It was fully charged with air, water, and power. Best of all, the suit boots had gripper feet. She now had a solid down. She worked her way back to the control panel and discovered that it was just possible to handle the switches in gloves. She plugged in the suit comm to the pod's comm.
I'm suited now.
Just in case. Now, what's your fuel situation?
Down to 10%.
And she didn't know what 10% was in terms of use. She didn't even know how long she'd been using it.
Then give me 1/2 second, thruster 7 and 4.
I can see the fuel gauge dropping.
Not much longer.
When the blow came, it took her by surprise and slammed her against the adjacent lockers. The suit's padding protected her, but the boots came unstuck from the deck and she tumbled. Another blow to the pod sent her tumbling in another direction. Finally, it was still. Brunn put out a cautious foot and it stuck. She could hear nothing. The end of the communication cable waved around, making it clear that she'd come unplugged.
Run.
She moved slowly back Run. To the control panel and plugged it in.
Run?
I'm here. I'm just shaken up.
Good. You're now locked onto the RSS Minesweeper Bulldog en route to the Harrier. Remain in your spacesuit. Do not attempt to leave your vessel until docking is complete and you have received notification.
And that was the end of that. Her comlink cut off and would not reopen. It seemed like a long time later that a gentler series of bumps woke her from a nap.
Brunn?
Yes, I'm here.
Your pod is aboard our ship. It's the RSS Julian Child.
I thought I was going to something called Harrier.
Oh, you are. But Harrier has no facilities for docking like this, and the Admiral thought it would be safer to transport you by shuttle, not make you swim tubes.
Oh, thanks. Admiral? What Admiral? Where's Harris? Oh, for that matter, where's Lady Cecilia?
We understand you're in a vacuum-capable suit. If you'll open your hatch, it's the left-hand flat button.
That says exterior hatch caution. Yes, I know.
That will put you in our number 6 docking bay. It's not aired up. If you have any concerns about your suit air, please tell me now. There's an airlock to ship normal air about 6 meters to your left as you exit, and suited personnel will be there to help you.
Outside the pod, Brunn saw a vast cargo bay open to space. Craft she had no name for were parked along the sides, and her pod filled the open middle. Beyond the lip of the bay, she could see the hull of another ship, a shape so odd she wasn't at first sure it was a ship. She stared until someone touched her suited arm, took the dangling cable of her comm unit, and plugged it into his own suit.
It's a minesweeper. Odd beast, isn't it? Nothing else could go in after you.
Then they guided her to the airlock and on into the ship, where she had a chance to change into a gray fleet ship suit before her shuttle flight left for the Harrier. The Admiral looked familiar, though Brunn didn't think she'd met Admirals before. Not this one, anyway.
Some party.
I don't remember most of it.
My niece tells me you once wanted to run away and join the service.
Brunn looked at the Admiral again. Graying hair, but the same evenly chiseled dark features, the same compact body, the same confidence.
You're Harris's aunt.
Yes. And you're Lord Thornbuckle's daughter. Tell me, are you cured of your desire for adventure?
Brunn thought a moment, even though she didn't need to think.
Not really. I mean, I'm still alive.
The Admiral nodded as if she'd expected that answer.
Do you understand why my niece and her crew insisted that you learn all those boring bits you complained about?
I always understood. I didn't realize the complaining bothered them. Doesn't everyone gripe?
Admiral Serrano, she supposed they had the same surname as well as the same genes, tipped her head as if to inspect Brunn more closely.
You are a remarkable young woman. My niece thought so, and you just proved it again. Will you eat with me?
Brunn had no idea what meal might show up, but her stomach was ready for any of them. Any two or three of them.
Thank you. I'd be honored.
The Serrano Legacy, Winning Colors, is continued on the next CD.